Hello and welcome to Nothing But Space, a weekly podcast where we talk about everything related to our universe, including the Milky Way, black holes, and other observable and non-observable phenomena. I'm your host, Francesca Fernandez, and today I will be taking you through what I hope to be a transformative journey. So today we are covering a key theory in astrophysics and one that is essentially the underpinning of everything we know and understand about space and time today, and that is the Big Bang, and subsequently, and kind of tied into that, the idea of cosmic inflation. That's right, two super cool theories. Let's get excited, it's gonna be a good episode. So, I think the first thing we should do is really define what the Big Bang is, and cosmic inflation will come a little bit later, so let's just start with the overarching idea of the Big Bang. And essentially, the Big Bang is a theory that explains how our universe came to exist and how it evolved. And what do you mean evolved? Well, I mean evolved in the sense that our universe was not always like this. And I'm sure you kind of know that. You kind of know, like, okay, our universe didn't always have life. And obviously, it didn't always have these large-scale structures like galaxies and planets and stars. But, you know, how did these come to be? And the Big Bang really explains that idea. And so the idea is that our universe expanded from an initial state of super, super hot temperatures and high densities, okay? And then ever since then, it's been cooling down. And this factor and this information is going to be a little bit more important later in the episode when we talk about how our universe could end. Another idea of the Big Bang is that our universe, it began as a singularity. So remember a couple episodes ago, we were talking about black holes. And essentially, you know, not really the end of a black hole, but I'm gonna say, like, at the end of a black hole, you have a singularity. And this is where time and space has no meaning because essentially all the mass of a black hole has just been shoved down into this, it's not even a point, but I guess we can theorize it as a point. It's the same idea for our universe. Our universe began as a singularity. And this beginning of our universe was known as the gravitational singularity. And so, I'm sure you've also heard that, oh, our universe is about 13.8 billion years old. And a lot of that has to do with how we've measured the universe's expansion rate. Because as we've measured it, we've kind of figured out that the Big Bang probably took place around 13.8 billion years ago. And because the Big Bang is considered the very beginning of our universe, where it went from this gravitational singularity into the structure that we know it as today, 13.8 billion years is considered the age of our universe. Now, the Big Bang also did a lot of other monumental things. This is where we had the creation of the light elements, helium, hydrogen, deuterium, lithium, etc., etc. We also had the creation of the cosmic microwave background radiation, which is a very, very big idea in physics today and something we've been investigating and using as a pinpoint to learn more about our universe. The Big Bang also gave us large-scale structures, galaxies, stars, planets, and many, many other things which we're going to go over. But before I talk a little bit more about, you know, what the Big Bang did for us, let's talk about a little bit of history. And so I'm going to go back around a century ago, a little bit more than a century ago, but the idea that we all originally bought into was known as the steady state model. And this is how we described our universe before the Big Bang theory came into play. And so the steady state model was the idea that our universe is expanding, but its lifespan is infinite. And as we know now, our universe's lifespan is not infinite. But we had this idea in the steady state model that the universe is expanding and its lifespan is infinite. We also thought, and this is the key difference between the Big Bang and the steady state model, we thought in the steady state model that the universe was the same at any time in any place. Okay, and so the universe being the same at any place, that is an idea that kind of carries over into the Big Bang, right? The idea of homogeneity. But the idea of the universe being the same at any time, that is not an idea in the Big Bang theory. And so what this means for the universe to be the same at any time, it means that the universe never underwent any change. Whereas clearly with the Big Bang, the universe started as a gravitational singularity. So obviously, to go from a singularity to the size and the expansion and the way that we know it now, it had to have undergone change throughout time. But in the steady state model, we say, like, okay, the universe did not change throughout time. It was just always somewhat like this, and now it's expanding. And so we first began to think about the Big Bang in 1927 when physicist George Lemaître observed an expanding universe. And he was thinking, okay, so if our universe is expanding outwards now, let's take this process and move it backwards. So if we go backwards in time, then the universe should be, I guess, like contracting. And what is it contracting back to? Well, if it's expanding now, then as we go backwards in time, it's probably contracting back to what he called a primeval atom. And that means it's contracting back to a singular point. And so then for a couple decades after what Lemaître and Hubble discovered, we were kind of stuck because we were like, okay, do we believe the Big Bang model or do we believe the steady state model? And we had a lot of like contentious debates about this because the Big Bang postulates that the universe is finite, the lifespan of our universe, but steady state postulates that it's infinite. And steady state had one other big advantage. And the big advantage is that in the steady state model, the laws of physics are applied the same way at all times, right? Because the universe did not go through change throughout time. But with the Big Bang, because it went through change through time, it went through changes in its density, the physical laws are not applied the same way at all times, which makes things, you know, just a little bit more complicated for physicists. And so because of this, we really had scientists split over the Big Bang model and the steady state model. Now, I guess the question here is like, what made us transfer from the steady state model to the Big Bang? Because we were first with the steady state model, and then we were stuck between the two, and now it's like, how did we get to the Big Bang? Well, the really big deal breaker and the big factor that really pushed us towards the Big Bang was the discovery of the cosmic microwave background. And the reason this is because the cosmic microwave background is essentially leftover radiation from the very, very beginning of our universe. And the Big Bang predicted that we would have radiation, but the steady state model did not. So once we found radiation confirming the Big Bang theory, that's when we kind of got rid of the steady state model altogether, and now that's why we favor the Big Bang theory. However, I do want to note one thing, and that is the fact that even though we favor the Big Bang theory and we're pretty sure that it is the theory that underpins our universe, it has its own problems, so it's not perfect. And I will talk about some of these problems later. I just wanted to clear that up, give you a bit of history as to how we came to this theory. Okay, and so now the majority of this episode, I really want to talk about how the universe has evolved, right? Because I said it started from a gravitational singularity, and now, well, now it is exactly how we picture it. It's this very big body that's expanding. So let's talk about like the in-between, how it got between these two drastically different stages. It went through many periods, okay? So let's talk about inflation as a whole. The first period was known as the Planck epoch, and this was between the very beginning of the universe's expansion to 10 to the power of negative 43 seconds within it, okay? And during this period, the four fundamental forces, so the electromagnetic force, the strong nuclear force, the weak nuclear force, and the gravitational force, these four fundamental forces were all one. And this is a particularly significant period because this is the only time that the gravitational force was as strong as the other three forces, because right now, the gravitational force is the weakest force. And this period, it was known as the Planck epoch because the size of our universe was the size of about the Planck length, which is 1.6 times 10 to the negative 35 meters. Now, after the Planck epoch, we had the second period, and that is known as the Grand Unification epoch. And this is when the universe's temperature cooled. And so because it cooled, gravity separated from the other three forces. And so you have the unification of the weak force, the strong force, and the electromagnetic force. And these three forces unified were known as the electronuclear force, or GUT, the Grand Unified Theory. But essentially, the Grand Unification epoch, the universe's temperature cooled, and the first elementary particles began to form. And now, right after this period, we have the most monumental period in the Big Bang, okay? And what really changed our universe from a gravitational singularity to this gigantic thing that we know it as today. And this period is known as cosmic inflation, okay? Which we all know and love. And this is essentially when the universe grew exponentially, okay? So I'm gonna give you an analogy. You know, like when teenagers go through puberty and you have like boys, their voice like drastically deepens within the period of like 2 weeks, okay? This is basically our universe going through puberty. It grew exponentially. It grew faster than the speed of light. And you're probably wondering, like, how is that possible? Because the speed of our light, it's like a cap. Well, the reason is the speed limit of light only applies to things within the universe. And so because we're talking about the actual universe itself expanding, not something within the universe, the speed of light limit really is not applicable. And so the universe grew exponentially, grew faster than the speed of light. And during this growth, the temperature dropped drastically, okay? And so what happened is a lot of the quantum fluctuations, they expanded into these various large-scale structures and parts of empty space. And then that's how you kind of have galaxies, and you have many, many different structures. Okay, after cosmic inflation, we had the fourth period of the Big Bang, and this was known as the electroweak epoch. And as I said, during cosmic inflation, because the universe expanded so monumentally, the temperature of the universe drastically dropped. Well, during the electroweak epoch, this was when the temperature of the universe had fallen enough, so that way the strong nuclear force could separate from the weak nuclear force in electromagnetism. So as you're seeing, as the temperature of the universe dropped, the four fundamental forces were able to separate from one another and become their own individual forces. And then between 10 to the power of negative 33 and 10 to the power of negative 32 seconds, inflation stopped. And that is when we kind of had our universe similar to the way we know it today. So after that, the universe began to reheat a little bit. It formed elementary particles, it formed plasma. We had quarks, we had gluons, which were combining to form protons and neutrons. And then we had the beginning of the light elements, okay? So elements known as deuterium, helium, etc. And the process of these light elements forming, this process is known as Big Bang nucleosynthesis, and I referred a little bit to it in the past episode about lithium-7, but essentially Big Bang nucleosynthesis gave rise to many important elements. The formation of the light elements was also when we saw the formation of many primordial gas clouds. And then I guess one of the last monumental parts in the Big Bang was after 379,000 years, that was finally when atoms could emit radiation. And then the radiation that they were emitting, that was what was known as the cosmic microwave background, which, like I said a little bit earlier, is something that we really use to investigate many different aspects of our early universe today. So after inflation, we had a pretty important period in the Big Bang known as the Dark Ages, and it has a very big, scary name, similar to what it actually is, but essentially the Dark Ages. It occurred around 380,000 to 150 million years after the Big Bang took place. So as you can tell, there was a long period of time after the Big Bang, the initial inflation of the universe, where our universe was really just sitting there and cooking and forming and becoming how it is and how we know it as now. And so during the Dark Ages, this was when photons in our universe were only released during certain processes, and so they were visible as a pale orange glow. But eventually, as time went on, they redshifted into these non-visible wavelengths. And because they're, you know, non-visible wavelengths, we couldn't see them. So really, we couldn't really see anything. The universe was completely dark. That's why this period was known as the Dark Ages. And so what happened with this darkness, or what we know as this quote-unquote cosmic fog, it enshrouded the first stars and galaxies, because the Dark Ages was also the same period as when we really saw large-scale structures forming in our universe. So the first stars, the first galaxies, because they were enshrouded in this cosmic fog. But we can't really get any data from this period because during this time they were not visible. So radiation during this period was completely undetectable by our instruments. Now, I guess the final part of the Big Bang that we're really mulling over right now is the expansion of our universe, because you had inflation, then you had the Dark Ages, and now after the Dark Ages, this is finally when the universe and dark energy and acceleration of our universe is really beginning to triumph. And so what is happening in our universe's acceleration is that space itself is expanding with time. And I really want to make this picture very, very clear, because the idea of space expanding is not what many people think it is. And so many people have this misguided idea that space's expansion is kind of like milk and cereal. And let me explain what that means, because that just sounds really weird when I just leave it like that. But the idea, so if we let cereal be analogous to matter and milk be analogous to space, it's not like you're pouring cereal in after milk, right? So it's not like the space or the milk already exists and you're just adding in matter or cereal to fill it. The idea of space expanding really is the fabric of space itself stretching. So it's not like you already have this space and then our universe is just expanding to fill the space. It's like the space itself, our universe itself, is physically expanding. And so, again, I've referred to space-time as a fabric many times, right? Like the fabric of space-time. Well, think about a blanket. If you take a blanket and you physically stretch it, you're going to see the fibers of the blanket stretch. And that is the same idea with how space itself is expanding. The space is physically stretching with time. Okay, I hope that makes sense. So another big idea that comes out of the Big Bang is the idea of horizons. And personally, this is one of my favorite things to explore in astrophysics because it's really fascinating. But the idea of particle horizons, it all comes back to how light is a limit. It is a constraint. And light has to travel, right? But it can only travel at a certain speed. It cannot go any faster than the speed of light. So there is still some light traveling that has not yet reached the expanse of our vision, right? Because if light has to travel for us to see it, because the universe is so vast, there is some light that's been traveling ever since cosmic inflation that still has not reached our eyes because it just cannot travel fast enough. And this horizon between what we can and cannot observe in our universe is known as the past horizon. I think an idea that is equally as beautiful is the idea of the future horizon, which is that light that we emit may never reach very, very distant structures because light that we emit from planet Earth has to travel at speed of light. And there are some structures that are just, our light will never reach them because our universe is expanding. And so the light will never be able to catch up to these distant structures and we will never be able to influence them. And this limit between what structures we can and cannot influence, this is known as the future horizon. An idea that is tied into the past and the future horizon is the fact that when we're observing galaxies and structures that are far, far, far away, okay? So galaxies and structures that are maybe millions or billions of light years away, what we're observing is how this galaxy and structure appeared a couple million or billion years ago, right? Because the light had to travel to us. And so it took a couple million or billion years for this structure's light to travel to us. And so what we're viewing now is not the current structure. It is the structure as it appeared a couple million and billion years ago. And I personally just think that is so beautiful because it's genuinely like you're looking back in time, like you're time traveling back to how our universe was a couple billion years ago. It's genuinely so fascinating. And that's why I said, really, this theory is one of my favorite things to explore. So one of the last things I wanted to talk about today are some of the problems with the Big Bang Theory. The first is that the Big Bang Theory proposes the existence of magnetic monopoles, right? And so as we know, all magnetic objects, they're dipoles, right? They come with a north pole and a south pole. But the Big Bang Theory proposes that we should have some sort of object that only has one magnetic pole, which if you've done any physics, you know that this is not possible. But why is this? Why is the Big Bang Theory postulating this incorrect idea? And the idea is that when the grand unified theory splits, so the unification of the three forces, right? The strong force, the weak force, and the electromagnetic force, when these three forces, so all of the fundamental forces except gravity, when these three forces split, there are defects left over, right? Because they were all initially one force, and then they began to split apart. And so they don't split perfectly. And the analogy is like you're splitting honeycomb or any sort of solid, fragile food, right? When you split it, the food doesn't split perfectly. So for example, say you're taking a piece of honeycomb and you're cutting it in half. Well, when you cut it, a small part of it is going to break off. So the two pieces that you've cut from this one piece, they aren't exactly the same amount as this one big piece. When you split it, you have small parts breaking off, so the honeycomb doesn't split perfectly. It's the same with this idea of these three forces. When you split them into different forces, into the separate weak force, the strong force, and the electromagnetic force, they're not splitting perfectly. They're not being broken perfectly. So there's some defects in how they've been split. And the defects of these forces, so not the actual forces themselves, but the defects, the parts that are left over. So in the honeycomb analogy, it would be the small parts that break off. The parts that are left over, these are similar to a magnetic monopole. And so the way that some physicists think these magnetic monopoles should appear, first, they should be very, very heavy particles because initially they were very small, but they were created before cosmic inflation. And so then after cosmic inflation, they probably inflated a bunch and became these much, much larger and more substantial particles. Another really cool thing about these magnetic monopoles is similar to the idea of quantum foam, they could be wormholes to another universe. And so if we look at these magnetic monopoles, to outside observers, they would appear like these microscopic, magnetically charged black holes. But on the inside, these magnetic monopoles would appear as if they're expanding until they become the size of a universe. So these magnetic monopoles, they would create a wormhole into an eternally inflating universe. So I think that is just so fascinating that you could have this particle, this magnetic monopole, that could beget an entire universe of its own, just like ours. And so if these magnetic monopoles somehow do exist, They should have emerged very early in the creation of our universe, and they should be just as abundant as protons, because the grand unified theory, or the strong force, the weak force, and the electromagnetic force, these forces split right before cosmic inflation. And so, the defects of these forces should have flooded the entire tiny universe, and then as it expanded through cosmic inflation, these magnetic monopoles should have expanded alongside our universe, and so they should be everywhere right now. Okay, another problem with the Big Bang theory is, well, what came before the Big Bang? And this is kind of like the chicken and the egg problem, is did the laws determining the universe's evolution come first, like the laws of physics, or did the universe come first? And some people postulate that, okay, maybe the universe was like hibernating, like a bear, okay? It could have been a singularity, could have been hibernating until something, some event, some particular scientific conditions compelled it to expand the way that it did. Another problem with the Big Bang theory is the fact that space is flat. And so during the Big Bang, the universe was not exactly at its critical density value. And this is important because since the universe was expanding, any difference between its actual density and the critical density value would only be enlarged. And so because the universe was not exactly at its critical density value, the universe would not be flat as it expanded outwards. It could only be flat at the critical density value, which it was not at. So by this logic, our universe should not be flat. But we measure the universe as flat. And that doesn't make sense to us. It shouldn't be flat, but it is flat. So that's a problem. Okay, there are two more big problems with this. The first is the idea of homogeneity, which is the fact that on the very, very macroscopic scale, so on a very macroscopic scale, the universe has essentially the same type of matter and structures everywhere. So it's essentially the same in terms of mass and its matter on the very, very macroscopic scale, which is very, very unlikely, okay? And then the second problem is the idea of baryon asymmetry. So why do we have more matter than antimatter, right? Because if matter and antimatter are like two sides of the same coin, then we should have the same amount of matter and antimatter. But clearly, that is not true. We have more matter than we have antimatter, and we don't really know why, okay? Because when the universe was young, and when it was hot, before it cooled down, it was in statistical equilibrium. It had equal amounts of baryons and antibaryons, or matter and antimatter. But somehow now, since that point and now, we have more baryons, and the universe is almost made entirely of baryons, and we don't understand why. Okay, the last thing I want to talk about in this episode is how our universe could end, or what implications the Big Bang could have for our universe's ending. Because the Big Bang obviously describes the very beginning, the very start of our universe. So on the flip side, how could our universe end? Well, one idea is known as the Big Crunch, and this is the idea that the universe should end just as it started, right? The universe began as a gravitational singularity. So some physicists postulate that the universe will end also as a gravitational singularity. It'll collapse down from its current size to a singularity. So how this would occur? Well, if the density of our universe is at or below the critical density, then its expansion should slow down, which means that gradually, stars and other structures, they'll burn out and they'll collapse and form black holes. So then we'll have a bunch of black holes in our universe, which will eventually collide and form even larger, more massive black holes. So our universe is essentially, after a long period of time, only going to be composed of black holes. And then, as Stephen Hawking proved, these black holes are going to evaporate by Hawking radiation. And as they evaporate, what that means is that the universe is going to collapse down to one giant gravitational singularity, which we will call the Big Crunch. However, this scenario is pretty unlikely because the universe is expanding, so we don't really think that the universe is going to collapse down anytime soon. The next idea for how our universe could end is known as the Big Freeze. And this sounds really cool. It sounds like a cool roller coaster ride. And it's pretty simple. The idea is that as our universe expands, it's going to keep cooling down, right? Because during cosmic inflation, the universe drastically expanded and also drastically cooled down. So if it keeps expanding, it should keep cooling down, and eventually the universe will just cool down to a point that it can no longer sustain life, and that is essentially the end of our universe as we know it in terms of having life. So it's not really like the end of the universe, it's the end of the universe with life. The third theory is known as the Big Bounce, and this is kind of a combination of the Big Bang and the Big Crunch, and it's the idea that after the Big Crunch, so assume our universe collapses down to a gravitational singularity, it'll expand again into a second version of the Big Bang. And then that universe will live out its life, and then it'll have a second big crunch, and this process will just repeat over and over and over and over. So you're going to have the universe go through a big bang. It's going to live its life, collapse down to a singularity, and then it's going to go through the big bang all over again. And it just keeps occurring and occurring and occurring. So the universe never fully ends. It just goes through these different phases. And that's kind of cool to think about, because it could also mean that our universe was not the first universe. It could have been maybe the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth phase of an entirely different universe. Two more ideas. The first of these two ideas is the heat death. And this is another way our universe could die. Essentially, this means the entropy of our universe keeps increasing until we cannot harness any sort of useful or organizable energy. And what this means is that, as we know, the entropy of our universe is always increasing. But at a certain point, the universe will be unable to sustain processes that would increase entropy. So the universe would reach thermodynamic equilibrium, and then that would be the end. And the last idea is known as the Big Rip. Again, another scary sort of cool name, but this is the idea that the universe is going to expand so much so that eventually the distance between its structures is infinite. So imagine the universe just keeps on expanding and expanding and expanding. Well, eventually, the distance between various galaxies, between stars, is just going to be infinite, and space-time, the fabric of space-time, will be torn apart by its very own expansion, which is kind of cool. It's kind of frightening to think about, but also kind of cool. Okay, thank you so much for tuning into this episode. It was a very wild one, and we definitely talked about a lot of different ideas, but I genuinely think Big Bang, cosmic inflation, these are ideas that are so fascinating, and I hope that they are just as intriguing to you as they are to me. So now let's just do a quick wrap up and then we'll call it a day. First, the Big Bang is essentially how our universe expanded from a point-like singularity, the gravitational singularity, to what it is now. It used to be very hot and very dense, and all the four fundamental forces were unified. But then the universe cooled down, forces separated, and then boom, it expanded through cosmic inflation into what we know now. The Big Bang also gave rise to many limits, limits on what we can influence, also known as the future horizon, and what can influence us, or past horizons. And these limits are due to the speed of light and how light can only travel at a finite speed. And also, of course, the Big Bang is not perfect, right? There's a few problems: magnetic monopoles, space's flatness, homogeneity, baryon asymmetry, etc., etc. And then the Big Bang is also beginning a big question, which is, how is our universe going to end? Because the Big Bang is obviously how our universe began. So let's think about the flip side. And we have a few ideas for that. We have an opposite process where the universe could shrink down to a singularity, known as the Big Crunch, or it could expand so much so that it becomes too cold, known as the Big Freeze, or it could expand so much that it's torn apart, known as the Big Rip, or it could go through the Big Bang and the Big Crunch, the Big Bang and the Big Crunch over and over and over and over and over again, and that's known as the Big Bounce. Or, and the last theory, is known as heat death, where essentially the universe can no longer sustain any processes that increase its entropy. So it's reached thermodynamic equilibrium, and then we're done. Okay, thank you so much for sticking around. You guys are epic. Happy holidays, and I hope you guys are having a great time. I hope you're enjoying your break. Next episode is going to be a special one and a little bit more personal before we end off the year. Please don't forget to share this podcast with your family and friends and rate it on Apple Podcasts. Don't forget to leave us a sweet review, because that would mean a lot to me, okay? Okay, thank you guys so much. I love you all, and I hope you're having a great holiday. Bye-bye!